Years ago, I was in a Christian bookstore. And many Christian bookstores sell far more than just books. They sell music, they sell t-shirts, and they sell all sorts of other different knickknacks. And I was walking through, I was looking for a gift for someone, and I saw some coffee cups. And there on one of the coffee cups was the words, "All will be yours if you bow down and worship." Matthew 4, verse 9. A wonderful promise, except it's the devil who says it. Temptation is everywhere. The temptation to misappropriate scripture to sell a coffee mug. Welcome to Lent, the season which prepares us for Easter. Lent lasts for 40 days, and for many of us, it just sneaks right up on us. And suddenly you mean it's Pancake Tuesday already? It seems early this year. And we wonder, well, what is Lent? What's all this mean? Most of us as Christians were really good about Christmas, and we're really good about Easter itself. These are our holidays, our high holy days. However, the seasons that are found before and after and in between those 2 days are just as important. And often they get lost in the busyness of life. Now, Lent is a season which lasts for 40 days, not counting Sundays. So if you just start counting from Ash Wednesday, 40 days, you will think that Easter is not on a Sunday and is happening earlier than you thought. It comes from the Anglo-Saxon word lengthen, which means spring. And the 40 days represents the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness, enduring the temptations of Satan and preparing to begin his ministry. Now, throughout Scripture, the wilderness represents a place of preparation, a place of waiting for God's next move, and a place for learning to trust in God's mercy. And for most of us, the wilderness is a very foreign concept. Yes, we live in what I would describe as a rural area, with lots of beautiful countryside to enjoy. And we would qualify the Northumberland Hills as wilderness. It fits the modern definition. However, the biblical definition of wilderness is not always so appealing. In Scripture, we find that the wilderness is a place which needs to be endured. It is a grueling place which many do not go to willingly. Some of us might think of a hike through the Northumberland Hills as something that needs to be endured, but most of us, if we go and do that activity, do it because we enjoy it. We can go to the wilderness anytime we want, whether it's camping, hiking, skiing, a variety of any other reasons. But in the Holy Land, the wilderness is not associated with abundance. It is more commonly associated with death, as it is harsh and barren. Yet for 40 days and nights, Jesus remains in the wilderness, without food, getting ready for what is going to come next. Jesus prepares himself for the trials which he knows are before him. And we should note that those 40 days that Jesus spends preparing himself are significant. 40 days and 40 nights is not a time reference which was chosen randomly. Noah and his family endured 40 days and nights on the ark. For 40 days and 40 nights, Moses fasted on Mount Sinai, as he inscribed the words of God's covenant. Elijah fasted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. After the Israelites fled from Egypt, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And 40 is the days of the season of Lent, which as Christians, we participate in Jesus' ministry and we follow him towards the cross. And how might we make ourselves ready for the way of the Lord in the places which we are called to be? How do we do that in Coburg? What is the mission of the church? What is needed from us as a congregation, as a community of faith, as individuals, and as the larger body of faith? What do we need to do to be prepared? So the time of Lent, which began this past Wednesday, is important. These 40 days mean something, or at least they should mean something. As followers of Jesus, it is important for us to think through what Jesus was doing and why he was doing it. We need to consider that we are reading this passage from Matthew's Gospel today on the first Sunday of Lent. We read it and acknowledge that Jesus prepared himself for the trials to come. And so we too prepare ourselves for Easter, for that journey towards Jerusalem. But this is where the similarities end. You see, we are reading this at Lent, at the door of Easter. And the events of Easter are what come at the end of the Gospels. And we are reading a passage that is from the beginning of the Gospels. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness before he began his ministry. This alone should give us something to think about as we consider our lives in light of being a disciple of Jesus. How have we prepared ourselves for Easter? And how have we prepared ourselves to follow Jesus? The temptation that we have is to make Lent about something which is not. And that temptation is particularly strong today when we look at the trials and the temptations of Jesus. The reality is that Lent is full of temptations, just like every other time in the year. The truth is, Jesus was probably tempted many times in his life, not just these three specific instances that we see today. We all face temptation, and for many people, temptation has been their ruin. There is the temptation to be better, the temptation to always put ourselves first, the temptation to believe that who we are and what we are doing and what we are going through is more important than what others are going through. I often note that when I'm driving and someone just flies by me and then weaves through every other car on the highway, and it's like, you are clearly an important individual. Please get to where you are going safely. But they're not thinking about other people on the road. The temptation to say or believe that a lack of self-sacrifice or the ability to give something up for Lent will jeopardize our salvation. We are all tempted, all the time, by a great many things. And the message here is not to resist temptation, but to take a close examination of temptation. To think about it and then figure out what are the things which lead us astray. A temptation that I face week in and week out is to ensure that this time this specific time of the week is not about something that I want to say. Rather, it is to ensure that this time is spent sharing what God needs us to hear. And I spend an inordinate amount of time on this specific moment. Because this isn't about me. I once asked a colleague years ago when I was doing lay preaching, I said, after the service, I shake everyone's hand and they all tell me how good the service was and how great the sermon was. And what am I supposed to say when people talk to me like that? What should I respond? This minister, she gave me some words of wisdom and some advice, which I still carry with me today. I found it very helpful because this moment isn't about me. That's why I pray that prayer at the beginning of every sermon, a paraphrase of Psalm 19, because this moment is about God, not me. And of course, now you see what I've done with this moment. Temptation, it's always there. It's always around us. The enemy is clever. The enemy is patient. And the temptation I believe that many of us have at Lent is to give something up. We are tempted to do that. And the forces of this temptation to give something up come from pressures all around us. We don't want to be viewed as bad Christians, so we give something up, as if this will demonstrate something about ourselves to God. So we give up chocolate or alcohol or something else, something usually very trivial in the grand scheme of things. We give something up for Lent because we are led to believe that doing so is expected of us. We do so because we don't want to be left out. And when we give something up for Lent in such a manner, we are giving in to temptation. Now, we might think that we are all right, except we've given those things up for the wrong reasons. We've given things up because it has caused us to feel good, or it has made us look good. However, it has done nothing about our relationship with our Creator. Our desire to give something up is self-motivated instead of being driven by a desire to deepen our walk with God. And I think that this idea or attitude of giving things up is problematic. I believe it offers nothing of any real substantive value. I mean, why give up chocolate for Lent? A lot of people will give up chocolate for Lent. Put your hand up if you've ever given up chocolate for Lent. I did it one year. No one else. Okay. Sure. But I mean, why give up chocolate for Lent when 60 days ago, most people, and this is the most common New Year's resolution, is to live a healthier life, which means you should be eating less chocolate anyways. So you don't need to give it up for Lent. You did it at New Year's. Why? Why are we giving things up? What's the motivation behind it? And in our current time, with the current political climate, which holds a great deal of uncertainty for many people, perhaps the question is not what are you giving up, but what are you living for? Pastor and theologian Marvin McMickle, in his book, Where Have All the Prophets Gone, takes pastors, he takes preachers, me, to task, claiming that we have sold out the God of biblical justice for a lesser God. And in doing so, we have blunted the voice of the pulpit. McMickle wrote those words 11 years ago. And me as a preacher, and you as followers of Jesus Christ, we can't suddenly be prophetic. We can't suddenly call out the ills and evils of the world. We can't challenge the things which are happening around us if we haven't always and already been doing so. We can't suddenly say, hey, the status quo isn't okay when it was okay yesterday or a couple of months ago. It's not enough to give something up and think that we've done enough, to believe that our actions in giving something up will make a shred of difference in the world. Jesus fasted to be tested, but also to be prepared as he entered the mission field where he would teach and heal God's people. Is Lent about giving something up to demonstrate to God that you are worthy? Is Lent about giving something up to show that you love God and are worthy of God's love? Or, this Lent, will we face the historic temptations that are before us, and will we give effective witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ in this time and in this place? Do we have the courage to name the racism, intolerance, hatred, and disparity that we see before us? This Lent, let's stop giving up. And instead, let's start living for and giving for God. Amen.